What's up, guys? It's Jack Howell, safety for the Green and Gold. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 36 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And big task coming up for the Rams this weekend. It got a little bigger, I think, with this weather. Sets up for an Air Force kind of day. Although, at 7-0, it feels like every weekend is an Air Force kind of day. Kevin, what are the Rams doing to prepare for this Falcons run game that seems like it's better than ever?
Yeah, every year, that's the task, isn't it? Of how do you prepare for an option that obviously no one else runs? So it's not like your team, you know, it's one thing preparing for Boise State or something like that. Obviously, they have a lot of, you know, challenges they create, but you can kind of mimic them in practice because it's not too dissimilar from what you run. Air Force is a whole different beast, and it's always a huge task and hard task for it to put together, and obviously the result shows.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And so what you're looking to try to do, we're talking about, you know, being able to replicate what Air Force does in practice. You have to give them looks. Loved your story in the Coloradoan today about a walk-on quarterback trying to really help this team prepare for Air Force.
Yeah, it's always fun, Air Force Week. I like, kind of check in who's running scout team quarterback because, you know, again, a normal week, a Boise or whatever, you just, you know, want your deep on the depth chart quarterbacks run scout, and it's usually Brig Hartson. But sometimes Air Force Week, you know, I've seen teams that have, you know, like a safety that doesn't play, but his high school ran the option. He kind of played both ways and did it. I've seen that type of thing. I've seen, you know, put a running back there as the, you know, pseudo quarterback, all sorts of different things. But Brig Hartson, the guy from, you know, just down the road at Roosevelt, has been running it. He said he ran some similar concepts in high school, and, you know, he said he remembered scouting against Meade, and Meade ran some similar concepts. So it's not totally foreign, but it's really fascinating. He was saying that after every practice, they'll go and watch the reps they just did as scout team and mirror it with Air Force plays to see if they're getting, you know, angles right, timing right, all those type of things. So it's a really detailed process, and, you know, some fans will never see, but it's a huge part of the preparation.
I absolutely love that you put this story together, Kevin, because, yeah, you don't think about that. When a team wins or loses on Saturday, not a lot of people are thinking of, man, that scout team must have gave them some great looks in the week. Yep. You know, coaches will say it and think about it, but most fans are like, yeah, whatever. But especially in this case, if the Rams do something crazy and beat Air Force, then, thanks to your article, I think that's going to highlight what it really took to beat the Falcons.
Yeah, it's such an unglorious job. You look at Brig Hartson, he's a walk-on from Roosevelt. I think he works a couple jobs. You maybe have seen him at Shields. He works at Shields. It truly is, you know, almost like a Rudy type story, except, you know, Brig puts all this work in and he knows he's not going to be on the field Saturday. He's not under any, you know, delusions of grandeur that, you know, if Brain Fowler Nicolosi comes in, they're going to call his number. You know, he's number six on the depth chart at quarterback. Heck, he might be number seven behind Torrey Horton. You know, he's a guy that knows he won't play, but just loves being part of it. He loves doing all the different scout. He said he's been basically every position on the field except offensive line running scout duty. So a guy that just puts in all this work. And, you know, I think you can make the argument that scout team guys like him actually have more on their plates than the starters. So it's just really, you know, dirty work. Bill Best, one of the assistant coaches, replied to my tweet, said, you know, Brig is one of the most selfless players he has ever seen in his career. So you just love those guys. Every team needs to have them. And yeah, hopefully it can kind of shine a light on a guy that's putting in all this work, even though you probably won't see him on the field at all.
Kevin Lytle joining us, Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, who is the most important defensive player for the Rams going into this weekend against Air Force?
That's a great question. A tricky question. I should ask a defensive coach what they would say, but the trick with Air Force is it has to be all of them, because if you, stop one part of the option, that's the whole point, is they can kick it out to a different part of the option. Everyone always says that the fullback is the most important. You have to stop that first. So that kind of leads you to your interior linemen. So we're looking at Cam Baratow, Grady Kelly, James Mitchell had some great plays last week, because you have to blow it up from the middle and force them outside. But then obviously once you do that, you need your linebackers and safeties going sideline to sideline. So I guess you would start in the interior, but it really has to be the full unit or they will beat you.
Wyoming scored the most points against Air Force. They scored 27 points in a losing effort, but 34-27, save for maybe that Sam Houston game. That was, and the Navy game was close too, but I don't think it ever really felt like Navy was going to win that game. But you got to be looking at those two. And I asked Jack this earlier this week, Jack Howell, and it's like, how much of the Sam Houston and Wyoming tape do you look at? And, his answer, which I'm sure you already know this, his answer is more like, it's not necessarily who gave him the best game. It's who has a closer or more of a similar style to what we have. That's what we're really looking at. Even if it was bad, we see where they went wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a game where you can almost paralyze yourself a bit if you overthink it. Like, yeah, obviously you have to be detailed in everything. But if you get too worried about it, then you're going to be too slow to react, basically. So it's a really tricky game because it is so unique. And, the thing, obviously, everyone, us included, talk about the option. But Air Force's defense leads the nation and is really incredible. And so it really puts pressure on both sides of the ball. I mean, you get about half as many offensive possessions in this game as you do a normal game. So it really highlights CSU's offense, too, of their need to be efficient.
Yeah, that's the thing. We can talk all day about what the defense needs to do to stop Air Force. And, hey, I'll just be honest. I don't know if a lot of people are holding their breath. We've seen teams run kind of all over CSU. We've seen CSU correct it and get better throughout games. But I go back to, like, the Utah Tech game in that first half. They were running it right or left. They were finding wide open gaps. I mean, I think you and me could have ran through those, Kevin. We could have got a yard or two just falling forward. Then they corrected that, and I get it. But then when you see Air Force, it's like, you can correct it, but then they change it. So you got to really look at the offense. Defensively, that'd be great if you can come up with something and make monster stops. But I think this puts more pressure on the offense. We're gonna need to see four air raid like we've never seen it before.
Yeah, and you can't, the last 2 weeks have been really slow starts. You just can't do that because, again, Jay Norvell keeps saying eight possessions. You get eight possessions against Air Force. Obviously, there can be some fluctuation, but that's probably a pretty good guesstimate. He also says they think they'll need 35 points to win. Okay, well, that's five touchdowns. So if you have eight possessions and need five touchdowns, y'all can do the math. You have to be pretty efficient. You can't start the game with, three and outs or something like that. So you have to start quicker. You have to try and find a way to steal a possession. That's where I wonder, if they're, maybe a fake punt, something like that, or one of those, not fake punts, but where Patty Turner tries to peg it off the back of someone's head as they run downfield, that type of thing. Because you have to find a way to steal possessions. Yeah, if you get down 14-17 early, Air Force can bleed that clock.
Yeah, they certainly can. They get any kind of whiff of a lead and look out. Just to backtrack a bit, Kevin, looking back on the CSU-UNLV game, had some success running the ball. Van Shield with 90 mm-hmm. yards, Avery Morrow 49 yards and a touchdown. So really solid games there. But still, as you know more than anybody on Twitter, you see the talk about the conservative play call still kind of something that we're looking at with Jay Norvell, with this young quarterback and Braden Fowler-Nicolosi. What are your thoughts on that assessment from certain fans that this offense is still just too conservative?
Yeah, in some ways it makes me chuckle because the first, 3-4 weeks of the season, I had everyone yelling about, they have to be better running the ball. And then they have a game where they run it pretty good, and everyone say, "Why are we running the ball? We have to, we have to throw it. Why are we being so conservative?" So, turns out that you just can't please a number of fans. But yeah, there were some calls that I kind of questioned. When CSU was up 10-3 and had the ball inside the 10, they went very cautious, and you know, it didn't work. So obviously it's easy to say bad call. I think it was probably protecting at that point BFN a few almost interceptions. I'm guessing the mindset was, well, we better make sure we get three. But obviously when you end up losing a game, unless they get a field goal, the difference there is big. You know, getting the first down before the would have been game winning field goal would have been huge, because then CSU would have killed the clock and had the last chance. So yeah, I think it's just an offense that doesn't fully have its footing. They're explosive at times, but they're inconsistent, and some of that, you know, the play calling, whatever, goes into that, of the balance of being aggressive but also trying to negate turnovers. And I think that's where they're trying to find the right balance of, you know, BFN obviously has made some huge plays, but, you know, you look at that Utah State game, way too many turnovers. So they're trying to find that balance. I think they just haven't quite struck it yet. You know, you see plenty of good signs, but, you know, it's not fully there. And again, I know, you know, fans don't like to hear this because they think it's excuse making, but, you know, the other team is trying to do stuff too. And, you know, they create some of those problems on their own too.
I'm confused about this team, Kevin. I think you would even mention something about, hey, could this season go down as one of those, like, just too many missed opportunities? I mean, say for that Washington State game, they were in every game. Utah State, I know it looks like they got blown out, but they were up 17-0, and they had opportunities in that fourth quarter against Utah State. That's why I'm so confused about this team. I don't know where to go with them. I could see, crazily enough, I could see maybe CSU put together some points and make this a competitive game against Air Force, but I could also see the other scenario you laid out. If Air Force gets up quickly, they just bleed that clock out, and it's like 17-3.
Yeah, totally. I think that's what this team is. You know, you can, like you mentioned, I kind of wrote, you can, in an alternate universe, think of how this team only has one or two losses, you know, without being crazy. But you could also think of a way they only have one or two wins without being, you know, too crazy. And that's kind of what they are. I think they're really, I think the phrase I used on Twitter is, there's a lot of good and bad all mixed in a blender. You know, if you want to sit here and yell and say this team is terrible, and that's, you know, that's just inaccurate. You know, the eye test tells you this is a more talented team with more potential than any CSU team we've seen since, you know, maybe 2017. But you can also sit there with the eye test and, you know, sort of scratch your head and say, man, why do they keep doing this? Why do they keep giving up big pass plays? Why do they go through, you know, a quarter where the offense doesn't move the ball? So it really is both. And that's why, you know, in these final five games, you can really imagine a lot of different scenarios.
Yeah, you could see them pull it out, get into a bowl game, maybe even more than that. Or you could see this thing just dwindle into a really rough season. I guess we'll see. Kevin, what do you got that we can check out at the Colorado? And I know you and I are going to talk for Rams Weekly coming up at 5 o'clock, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, you mentioned the feature on Brig Hartson. Really enjoyed that. Awesome kid. So if you get a chance, hopefully readers will enjoy that. And then, yeah, I'll just be previewing the game. It's going to be a snow game, it looks like. So a lot going on, and obviously I'll be out there covering. So a really fascinating day coming up Saturday.
Kevin, I'm out this weekend. Our boy Tanner's getting married, and I'm in the wedding. So, you know, there's no turning back. I'm honored to be in it, of course. But if CSU wins and you guys get to go in the locker room again, just, you know, save me a seat. Maybe I'll try to run over there.
I'll just text you a video.
Yeah, just text me a video. That'll be fine. Kevin, my man, we'll talk to you later on Rams Weekly.
You bet. Looking forward to it.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. In 10 minutes until the top of the hour, we'll take a quick break, wrap this one up. I got my big story of the day coming up in the second hour. Jacob Sermon, quarterback for the Bears, and Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. So all that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Interviews and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.